Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode of the Stardom Cast is sponsored by Puro TV, your one-stop shop for all your Puro DVD needs. From Stardom to New Japan, from All Japan to Ice Ribbon, as well as incredible box sets documenting the best matches of your favorite Japanese wrestling icons, Puro TV has it covered with new items added every week. And now, as a special gift to listeners of the Stardom Cast, Puro TV are offering 10% off. Simply go to puro-tv.com, use the promo code STARDOMCAST at checkout and get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's the code STARDOMCAST to receive 10% off your entire order. The link to their website is in the podcast description. And now, on with the episode.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the STARDOMCAST.
Guys, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Goodname, joined as ever by Matt Turner. Matt, how are you today, good sir?
Rob Goodname, I am fantastic as always. There's a little bit of me that's a little bit upset, a little bit heartbroken. Before I get into that, let's talk about you for a moment. How are you doing today, sir? Is your weather as beautiful in England as it is in Pennsylvania here?
I feel like we have to temper expectations in Britain. So what others might expect, you know, what others might describe, sorry, as dismal and cold and overcast, we would consider a summer's day. So we have blue sky. It's cold, but we have blue sky, which makes it one of the nicest days ever in Britain, I would have thought. What about you?
It's beautiful here. It's about 61 degrees. Little cloud, nice breeze, hopefully. I mean, this is what we call fake spring number one. It's supposed to be like this the next couple of days. A little bit of rain, but usually what happens, it'll hit like the 60s for a couple of days, and then we'll get eight feet of snow. So right now, we're in fake spring number one.
Right. Okay. See, we don't really have fake spring. We have a very, very brief period of about 2.5 hours of spring and summer, and then we just get back to grey skies and rain. I know that obviously when Britain is portrayed on TV or in the movies, it's very much a case of it being a dismal, boring place, and that's pretty accurate in fairness, and especially when it pertains to the weather. But yeah, it's all right today, and I feel like it's sunny, it's a positive day, and we're going to be positive about the shows that we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely, sir. But real quick, I want to tell you why, and all of our listeners, why I'm a little bit heartbroken, buddy. So yesterday, we recorded and released our Stardom Cinderella Tournament Bracketology. And if you haven't listened yet, quick spoilers, not only did myself and one Rob Goodwin have our brackets, but our significant others, Amber and Kirsty, did as well. And Rob quickly put up the show up on the the podcast feed. And I woke up this morning to several messages saying, "Hey, no offense, guys, but I hope the girls beat you." And now that's no slight to our lovely significant others. Obviously, Rob loves Kirstie, and I love my wife Amber so much. However, where's the loyalty, folks? This is hundreds and hundreds of hours of research and fantastic podcast goodness that we give you. And just like that, Rob, they turn on us.
Honestly,
just like that.
Everyone loves an underdog, apparently. But I feel like after that episode yesterday and the stress, the undue stress that I put myself through yesterday, I feel like I am the underdog going into this Cinderella tournament. Like, Kirstie, like, I've had people say, like, on Twitter and Patreon, they've said, like, "Oh, this is a really good bracket for someone who doesn't even watch Stardom." I was like, "Well, maybe I shouldn't watch Stardom then. Maybe I should just wing it." Or, as Kirstie told me yesterday, when I told her that we'd done the podcast, she was like, "Did you tell everyone about my technique?" I was like, "I didn't know you had a technique." She was like, "Oh, yes, I did. I just went for the top person in the match."
Oh my goodness.
So if it was Utami versus Nene, Utami's on the top, Utami's going through. Absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
You can hear the anger, but we just said we're going to be positive. So I guess let's get off the subject. You know what's going to make me and you feel better? Talking about Stardom New Blood Premium, talking about the fantastic upgraded Patreon, and then in just a few hours, buddy, me and you are going to be doing another alternate commentary of Black Desire versus FWC. I think that is what's going to make me and you feel better. What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. So let's get off this and let's talk a couple of things. Just coming out of the world of Stardom and things like that. Obviously, when we recorded last week, we said that we got about 1,700 shows to record the reviews to. But Stardom World has delivered a big sloppy stink face, and none of them are up.
The 12th show went up about 10 hours ago.
Yeah, the show from the 12th of March, we're recording this on the 22nd of March, the show from the 12th has just gone up, which is extremely frustrating. I make it 5 shows Stardom currently have in the can that no one can watch, which is extremely frustrating. But it does mean that obviously they're going to have to be ported over to next week. There is a limit to what me and Matt can do, much as we love Stardom. So next week, obviously, will be our review of New Blood Premium, which we're going to be previewing today. The first round of the Cinderella tournament, which we previewed, as Matt said, in our Bracketology episode. And if you haven't checked that out, go and check it out and listen to what it sounds like for me to have a mental breakdown. And then we will go through just a couple of the key points from those shows, simply because if we tried to review all 5 of those shows, 6, if you count the one that went up today, as well as the 2 pay-per-views, it's going to be a 6-hour podcast. And much as I don't think some of you would mind, you think you want that, you don't want that. You don't want that. So we'll sort of find a workaround in regards to that. Ordinarily, when we do our weekly podcast, obviously I start with what's coming up on the Patreon, but we'll leave that a little bit. And the reason for that is because obviously today we're going to be sort of announcing the new tiers for the Patreon as of the 1st of May, and what sort of things that you can expect from those tiers. So we'll kick straight into some news. And the first bit is a little bit of a negative, unfortunately. The New Blood Premium show, we were initially supposed to have the debut of all 3 of the new trainees. Unfortunately, the Kimomo Minami and Hazuki match is off the New Blood Premium event. This is coming courtesy of Alex on Twitter, at LWOSPW Alex R over on Twitter, who says that Minami will debut a different show after recovering from an injury. He's also said that that match is going to be replaced by Super Strong Stardom Machine versus Sexy Dynamite Princess. I don't know. I have no idea if Alex is being serious. I can't find that matchup anywhere, though.
That match better happen now. I'm super excited.
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. Obviously, we know who Super Strong Stardom Machine, or we have an idea of who it could be. But As for Sexy Dynamite Princess, your guess is as good as mine as to who that is. But I'm glad
Mariah
to see...
Mariah May. What would it be Mariah May? She's the fighting princess. That's my guess.
Is Mariah May not already on the card? I mean...
I have no idea. You could do double duty.
That's a good point. Sai Reed is doing double duty. I mean, that's...
Wow, easy. I can hear you winking. This is an audible podcast. I can hear you winking.
But obviously, this is a huge disappointment for Minami, who will have to wait to make a debut. It sounds like she's the one who's got the injury. It does mean that Hazuki is off this card as well, which is always a disappointment. But we will, of course, see her the following night at the Cinderella tournament. Couple more things coming out of the Stardom results. Now, there are a couple of things that obviously pertain to results coming out of the shows that we can't review, but they're things we need to talk about, so we'll sort of weave these in next week as well. The first thing I want to talk about is Tam Nakano, who will be going up for the World of Stardom Championship match against Julia at Yokohama Arena on April 23rd at All-Star Grand Queendom. She cut a ferocious promo on Julia backstage at KBS Hall. Absolutely incredible promo. Really went to town, sort of referencing their past and talking specifically about that hair versus hair match at the Budokan 2 years ago, where she said, even though it was me that cut your hair, even though you were the one that lost the hair and I won the belt, I won the match, people still came out of the match talking about Julia. And every day people were talking about Julia, and every day your hair would grow back and it would remind me that nobody was talking about me. It was still about you. And it's a really fiery promo, to the point where she's backstage with Natsupoi, and bless her, poor Natsupoi is trying desperately to calm Tam down. She's grabbing her hand, stroking her, looking fully terrified. But it just adds that extra little bit of heat to that match on the 23rd of April. I still fully expect Julia to retain, but nevertheless, it's an absolutely outstanding little wrinkle that they've added. Have you seen this promo, Matt?
Yes, I have. I want to congratulate Tam's promo on being the newest member of the Natsupoi Beatdown Tour. That's what happened there. You know, I mean, the one thing, a lot of it's just Japanese wrestling, just not known for the promos like how they are, you know, here in the States. And kind of, you know, when I'm watching Stardom or, you know, anywhere from the, you know, from the first shows in 2011 until now, there's only a handful of, like, you know, pretty decent promos, which is, you know, which that just, it's the way that it is. And between this promo and the Mina promo we got a couple months ago, it's like these girls, when given the opportunity and it fits for the story, they hit some banger promos. But you can see just the fire in her eyes, how fired up she is. And just, yeah, this makes so much sense now. Like I said, they need to do something to kind of heat Tam up going into this match. And they clearly did it with the angle, you know, that happened before this, where Tam cuts a little bit of Julia's hair. And even from what I understand, it's probably going to be edited out. Excuse me, or it was edited out from the Stardom World YouTube page. But I guess the initial thing was when Tam was on top of Julia trying to cut her hair, she accidentally kicked Natsupoi. So, and I don't know if that was supposed to happen or it looked like an accident, but if she was just going at Julia to try to get to that hair and then cuts this unbelievable promo, basically again saying, I mean, if you take a look at it, it's like, yeah, I did win that match, but all everybody is talking about is Julia. And yeah, she does talk about her not only growing her hair back, but since that this match, Rob, I mean, you're the Stardom research genius here. How many different hairdos has Julia had since that match?
She's had
almost 2 years ago.
Obviously, she was GI Julia for a bit. And then obviously the shorter hair, she's had the braids, she's had the red braids, she's had the black and white braids. So
Orange Julius, the Orange Julius,
the Orange Julius, yeah, absolutely. Who could forget that? And obviously, she had the slightly longer, sort of flicked out hair that she had when she was part of ALK. There have been multiple hairstyles in the Julia portfolio. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll make this a hair versus hair match. I think it'll be a straight up championship match. But even just sort of having that little reference back to that match at Budokan. And I love the fact that they've referenced that match and not the five-star final, because ultimately that was just a Julia win and Tam accepted that. but she's still feeling aggrieved 2 years, so she's got 2 years of pent-up emotion. I love that that's a thing. So, yeah, fully, fully expecting it to be an absolute banger. What I expect to be a banger as well is Mercedes Moné's next IWGP Women's Championship match. Or at least part of the card for the Sakura Genesis show, the New Japan Sakura Genesis show, was announced today from Korakuen Hall, Sumo Hall, Ryogoku Kokugikan. Which unfortunately makes me very sad that Mayu Iwatani will not be there, from April the 8th. And that card has been announced with the culmination of the New Japan Cup. If you haven't seen the final or know who wins, fast forward this podcast 10 seconds. But obviously we have Kazuchika Okada versus the New Japan Cup winner Sanada. We have got Hiromu Takahashi versus Robbie Eagles for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Bishamon will be defending against Aussie Open for the tag straps, which is going to be sensational. And we've also got the World Television Championship between Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino. What we don't have announced yet, but something that we sort of thought was nailed on, is the Mercedes Moné versus Azumi match. Now, whether that is because they're simply just waiting to cross the I's and dot the T's, which isn't the phrase, but I'm going to go with it anyway, or whether we potentially, because we're going to talk about this a little more in a moment, but Hazuki has put her name forward for the IWGP Women's Championship. Do we then, at Sakura Genesis, make this Mercedes Moné versus Azumi versus Hazuki? Or do we sort of have Mercedes Moné versus Azumi, then have Mercedes Moné versus Hazuki, and then have the winner take on Mayu Iwatani, which we'll talk about in a minute? What's your thoughts on this, Matt?
You know what? Usually I don't like three ways, just because three ways and tags are fine because you have six, three times two, six. Look at that math skills. But just from it, sometimes it's tough. It's tough to have a really good, either they're really, really good or they're like just kind of just average. And you kind of have to call everything A to Z, in the back, and you don't have much room for improv depending on what the crowd is biting. And if somebody misses something, it's like the domino effect. You know, if one person's off one move or one step, everything kind of falls out of the wasteland. But then again, you can have an absolute fantastic one if everybody's clicking. From what I understand, Mercedes is going to be in Japan for the entire month of April. So obviously we know the Mayu match is coming at the big Yokohama Arena show. I mean, that's the match to go to. Obviously, Azumi is in a line for a title shot. So do we add Hazuki here? I'm going to say that I think she's going to get three matches in Japan, at least three matches in Japan while she's there. Again, from what it's heavily rumored, she's there for the entire month. So I think you do a singles with Azumi, a singles with Hazuki, and then the singles with Mayu. However, as much as I would want to see the singles between Azumi and Mercedes Moné, adding Hazuki, one of my favorite wrestlers on the Stardom roster, would not be a bad choice because we know how great chemistry Azumi and Hazuki does have. So either way, it's kind of heads you win, tails you win, but I would rather the three singles matches. How about you, buddy?
I'm just looking at the New Japan schedule just to see basically where we could possibly slot in a Mercedes Moné Hazuki match if we're not going to have it at a Sakura Genesis. So the next really big show after Sakura Genesis really is Wrestling Dontaku, but that doesn't take place till May. So we could potentially... There are two US shows happening in the middle of April. There's one in Washington, D.C., Capital Collision, and there is one in Philadelphia the day afterwards, April 16th, at the old ECW arena. Now,
ECW.
Now, the Capital Collision show, at the moment, only has three matches announced. And the Collision in Philadelphia show has no matches announced. Could it be, therefore, that we could have Mercedes Moné versus Azumi at Sakura Genesis and then potentially Hazuki versus Mercedes Moné at one of these two shows.
I hope it's the Philly show, Rob, because I have, if it does happen, I hope it's the Philly show because I have, I'll be away in New Jersey at Catch Wrestling Camp, and Catch Wrestling gets over on 4:35 o'clock, and where the building is at Snake Pit USA from the former ECW arena, it's like 20-25 minutes away.
Nice.
So that is my plan. I probably have to take an Irish shower, which means I will soak myself in Axe body spray and cologne, so I'm not too offensive. But yeah, that is in the back of my head, that if there is one Stardom or Stardom style match, that's what I plan on doing. If not, I will take my busted ass home all the way back. yeah, that's a good possibility, buddy. That's a good possibility.
Yeah, because obviously, as I've already said, we've got one Wrestling Dontaku show, which is Wednesday, May 3rd. And then we've got another US show in California, in Long Beach on May 21st. And then, of course, there's the Forbidden Door show, which we'll talk about a little bit closer to the time, because I know there's a lot of fantasy booking regarding the Forbidden Door and if Stardom are going to be prevalent on that show, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail the closer we get to it. I'd love to say that, you know, Hazuki is going to get a shot in America. It seems the most likely possibility if they're going to have her go before Mayu, because there isn't a lot of dates between like Sakura Genesis on the 8th of April and the Yokohama show, which is the 23rd. There's not a great deal of that sort of wiggle room in the middle. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye out.
Let me throw this at you there, good sir. What if the rumors of her being in Japan, Mercedes Moné, being in Japan for the entire month of April, and they do it at a Stardom show?
Well, let's have a look at the Stardom calendar. So luckily I've already got it up, because
what a guy. What if Mercedes, because she's right now, she's all about her legacy. Granted, it's not like she's going broke at these shows. She's getting paid real well. Corken Hall is a legendary venue. And I think there's two Corken Hall shows leading up until the, obviously we have that one April 2nd, which is obviously Kairi. What if Kairi's big thing is she announces that it's Mercedes? Well, then when you do the Hazuki match. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, what if at the Corken show, which is, again, it's a legendary venue. Granted, you're not going to hold, you know, 20, 30,000 people in there. But what if she wrestles Hazuki at Corken Hall? Because she pretty much can call her own shots. And rightfully so. She's definitely earned that right.
The chances of Hazuki being on the US shows are minimal, because the 15th of April also happens to be the final of the Cinderella. I knew the date stuck in my head for some reason, but as anyone that listens to the Bracketology episode, both me and Matt have got Hazuki winning it. She can't be in two places at once, and she's certainly not going to win the Cinderella on the 15th and then go to Philadelphia on the 16th to wrestle. It's just not going to happen. So we've got the Corken Hall show, which you were talking about, Matt, on the 2nd. I believe Kairi is bringing someone to the Yokohama show, isn't she? So with Mercedes Moné sort of defending the IWGP Women's Championship match, I think it makes more sense for it to be announced someone else. She could turn up on that show, certainly. There's a Corken on the 14th as well, the night before the Cinderella final. And then it's Golden Week, really. So you're looking at the next one being the next big show, being the Goddess Legends show on the 4th at Fukuoka. It's a very small window, because otherwise, and this is no disrespect to Stardom, but I don't see Mercedes Moné rocking up at Sendai Pit or Shinkiba First Ring or Shinjuku Face. She's going to come to bigger venues. And the only bigger venues that Stardom are really running in April are the Corken Hall shows that we've already talked about, the Yoyogi National Stadium, which is where they're running the Cinderella final, and then we've got the Yokohama Arena show, which she's already going to be wrestling at, and she's already going to be wrestling Mayu Iwatani. So it's going to be interesting. It's certainly something to keep your eye on the Stardom socials. And we'll keep an eye out for you and announce it when we know something a little bit more concrete. So obviously we've already said we're not going to be able to go through all the show reviews that we wanted to go through for different reasons. I'm not going to rag on Stardom World because we seem to do it all the time. So the main point of today is going to be to look a bit more in depth at the New Blood Premium show. We were going to do a preview of the Cinderella tournament, but we sort of did that on Tuesday. You should all have had that in your feed on Patreon and on the free feed. You all should have had that yesterday, so you'll be able to listen to our in-depth sort of ramblings about who we think is going to win and who's going to win each match. So if you want to hear our preview of that, go and check out episode 111 in the Stardom Cast archive. So we're going to focus, before we move on to the Patreon, we're going to look at the New Blood Premium show. Obviously, we've had that match announced as well. Super Strong Stardom Machine versus Sexy Dynamite Princess, which is just outstanding. We're not going to preview that match because we don't know who Sexy Dynamite Princess is. We're going to open with a three-way tag, though. Don't forget, this is on the 25th of March, Saturday the 25th, and it's a double header for Stardom at Yokohama Budokan. So you've got New Blood Premium at Yokohama Budokan on the 25th, and then at the Yokohama Budokan on the 26th, we have got the Stardom Cinderella Tournament. So two pay-per-views to buy over this weekend. Isn't life fun? We've got a three-way tag team match to open things up. We have got the teams of Hanan, Hina, Momokogo and Saeeda, and Rina and Ruaka. Matt, who do you have winning this opening three-way tag?
I'm going to piggyback on my wife's fantastic prediction. I'm going to say Saeeda gets a fall here to heat her up to go into the semifinals of the Cinderella tournament.
That's a good shout, to be fair. That's a good shout. And I did briefly think that. Obviously, I've got Hanan going quite deep in my tournament. But despite that, I'm going to say they're going to go with Rina and Ruaka. My reason being that, obviously, a lot of momentum behind Ruaka at the moment due to her outstanding performance at Corican Hall. And also, Rina is your next number one contender to Amisori's Future of Stardom Championship. Now, looking ahead, both me and you feel that she is going to win that belt from Amisori, so that Amisori can go on to other things. Both of us think that that is going to happen. Rina seems to be the next primed to win that belt. A little pinfall winner here, maybe over Hanan, you know, a former Future of Stardom champion, would work really well. And I think, obviously, we've already talked about the momentum of Ruaka. I think that makes most sense. Obviously, it's a three-way. It's going to open the show, that this three-way tag, I would have thought, if not being on the pre-show. So I'm probably putting too much stall in it, but that is what I would do anyway. Just to heat Rina up, because I don't think she's going very deep in this Cinderella tournament, because I think they're a bit high on Mariah May. Second match, then, we have got the debut of some of our rookies. We have got Julia, our Red Belt champion, taking on Aya Sakura, or Sakura. I don't know how it's supposed to be said. I imagine we'll hear it on commentary. There's not a great deal of previewing here. I imagine that Julia is going to win in relatively decisive fashion, but it is going to be very interesting to see how Sakura does in this match when she's against someone who is quite brutish in their offense. And I don't mean brutish as in, you know, she's unsafe, but a lot of Julia's offense is hard hitting. A lot of Julia's offense is power moves and, you know, big suplexes and big drop kicks. It's going to be interesting how Sakura copes with that, Matt.
You know, when it comes to all these trainees, it's weird because we're supposed to, when you hear the word Stardom retirement, we're supposed to be focusing on Himeka because they're doing a great job with this Himeka retirement tour. But on this show, if Waka loses, she's pretty much retiring from Stardom. And then had the Hazuki match happen, you probably would have had three other immediate retirements because they're really putting these four. They're not just rookies. Rookies, your first year, your first match. Yeah, you're really holding your feet to the fire. It's like, way to go, Stardom. By April, you're gonna have five people off your roster. Like, what's going on here? I kid. I digress. Julia and I talk about this all the time on the podcast. She does such a great job taking somebody that's underneath her or on, you know, the opening card and just making them look so much better. Obviously, you know, this is her first, you know, her opponent's first match. I wouldn't, and Julia is the, you know, the champion. She's the flag bearer for Stardom. So I wouldn't expect like a full squash here. I would be shocked to see Julia give, you know, this rookie on her first match a few, like two or three big moves just to shine her up, where she ultimately then just drops her either with the Glorious Driver or the Northern Lights bomb. So, yeah, I think it'll probably go about 5 or 6 minutes, but I'm really looking forward just to see how Julia is going to make this person, you know, look good in their first match. Cause she's just, I mean, then that's what you want. When you're going into a match with somebody, you want to, for them to be able to shine you up. And Julia does that pretty much better than anybody on the Stardom roster. So out of all these debut matches, this is the one I'm looking forward to the most. But yeah, it's Julia's going to get a pinfall win here in about 6 minutes.
It's going to be interesting because I think if Julia wasn't the red belt champion, one of the standout performances, I was going to say like a really daft point, but one of the standout performances for Julia in 2021 was when her and Siori just took apart Unagi and really gave her nothing and made it very, very blatantly obvious that she was rungs below them on the ladder. Now, obviously, with her being champion and face of the company, I don't see her doing that with Sakura. But I think if this had come last year or even before she took the red belt off Siori, I think we could have seen that, like a really dismissive performance from Julia. But here, especially Sakura's called Julia out. Let's not forget that. This wasn't Julia's decision. Sakura said, I want my first match to be against Julia. And Julia immediately said, no, why would I do that? You're just starting, before then relenting and agreeing to the match. So it'll be interesting to see which tack Julia takes. The other rookie on the card will be teaming with Lady C, and that is Hanako, the 184-centimeter Hanako. And, of course, she's the one with some wrestling experience. As I've said, she's wrestling with Lady C against Mai Himi. I do like the idea of the fact that they've just seen tall person and put them with the other tall person on the roster. But, Matt, again, I see this being a fairly decisive win for Mai Himi.
Yeah, and also too, Lady C, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, they put Mike and Himika with Lady C in the Triangle Derby, so it'll be interesting to see her on the opposite end, considering they're openly trying to recruit her to be in Donald Del Mundo once Himika leaves. So, yeah, I see it as I wouldn't say such a decisive win, because I think you're going to see Lady C get a bulk of the offense here, but ultimately we know who's taking the fall.
It wouldn't surprise me now if come the 5-star, so we're talking late July, early August, it wouldn't surprise me if both these women, Hanako and Lady C, are both in Donna Del Mondo.
Oh, there's a little prediction there from one Mr. Rob Goodwin.
Well, just the way they fight, and obviously you're losing Himika, you want to start pushing Mei Sakurai a little bit more. So you need, I hate using the phrase pin eater, but you need that person who can eat the pinfalls. You know, your Waka Tsukiyama's in Cosmic Angels. So why not have Hanako team her with Lady C in the tag league as a Donna Del Mondo team? I think it works. Again, we'll see. I am looking forward to this match just to see the chemistry between Hanako and Lady C. We'll see, though, obviously, on Saturday. We have another trial match for Miyu Amasaki, who, fresh from a defeat to Nene Takahashi at KBS Hall, but one where she gave a very good account of herself by all accounts, she will be taking on Siori. So there really is no rest for poor Miyu Amasaki. And again, Matt, I don't think we are in for any shocks here. I think Miyu Amasaki is losing, and losing in a sub 10-minute effort against the former Red Belt champion.
Yeah, and another possible retirement match. Oh, geez, I'm so terrible. Yeah, it's nice to see Miyu. I know she's hit some bumps on the road with the injuries, and she's looked really solid towards the end of the year, the beginning of this year. So I like this trial match series. She's, you know, going up against the best of the best. Obviously, Sherry's going to give her a good match, but at the same time, I think it's going to be Sherry just dominating with kicks and then probably putting in some sort of submission. But yeah, I think this one will go about 6 or 7 minutes. But it's nice. You're kind of really throwing Miyu into the, you're really throwing into deep waters here. And it's either going to be sink or swim, see how she's going to look in this trial match series. Ultimately, though, yeah, it's going to be a pretty dominant win from the former Red Belt champion.
So aside from what I assume is going to be the main event, which is the Tam and Wacker tag match, which we'll talk about presently, the main sort of hook of this show, if you like, is the crowning of the inaugural New Blood Tag Team Champions. And we've got the two semifinals and the final to go on this card. And we're going to start with one of those semifinals now, the team of Mirai and Tomoka Inaba taking on the team of Amisori and Nanami, an all God's Eye semi-final. I would have loved to have seen this as the final, but I'm selfish. So, Matt, who do you think, out of these two teams, who do you think is going on to the final?
Up to God's Eye team. All right, next off, go ahead. Like Bobby Heenan back in the day when they'd be like, I know who's going to win this match, Gorilla Monsoons. Who? It's a guarantee. You call me in the morning, I'll tell you. It's going to be Mirayan. Mirai and Tomoka. That's my pick.
Yeah, mine too. I think, Amisori already has a belt. I think Nanami has a lot of upside, but she's still really, really young and has got a lot of time to develop. I think as your inaugural tag team champions for this new sort of show that you're trying to promote, I think, you know, you want to put it on someone with a lot of upside. And I think Mirai and Tomoka Inaba in this match, I think, have a lot more to give than Amisori and Nanami, horrible as that sounds. So yeah, I've got Mirai and Tomoka Inaba going through as well. The last semi-final is the team of Mei Sakurai and Chanyota taking on Starlight Kid and Karma. Matt, who have you got and why?
I hope Mei Sakurai hits the phenomenal elbow drop on Starlight Kid and then takes her mask. I'm just kidding. This match is going to be really, really good. I'm excited to see it, but ultimately I think it's going to be Karma and Starlight Kid getting the win, setting up a phenomenal final match.
The only way I see Starlight Kid and Karma not winning is if Karma suddenly forgets that she's not in the circus and starts throwing fire around the ring again. I think that they'll try and give Chanyota a couple of spots in the match where she can do some powerlifting. You've got Starlight Kid, who's relatively small and can probably make her look incredibly strong with the way she sells. But it's the argument that I have for Mirai and Tomoka Inaba going through. You want the faces of this New Blood division to be recognizable and with a lot of upside. And I feel like Starlight Kid especially is that person. Whether she is the person to win the belts, we'll find out in a second. And Karma's there as well. Moving on then to the final, and we've both got Starlight Kid and Karma taking on Mirai and Tomoka Inaba. Matt, who is going to be, or who, well, who's going to hold the New Blood Tag Team Championships coming out of this show?
This is a coin flip. I mean, I can cop out and say time limit draw, right?
imagine. What are you doing to us, Rossi?
Oh, boy. I mean, again, this is, I don't know. I can see this match going either way. Obviously, I want no disrespect to the other two teams in the tournament. This is the final. I think even when they announced the brackets, we were all like, we hope this is the final because these are the two best teams and pretty much the four best wrestlers in the tournament. I'm going to say the God's Eyes team take it. Just maybe to maybe heat Mirai up just a little bit more as a tag team wrestler heading into her tag title match with Amisori at the Yokohama show. But I mean, that's kind of like, you know, my half-assed reasoning why, but I would not be shocked to see Starlight Kid and Karma take the belts.
I'm flip-flopped quite a lot between these two. I did sort of think initially that it was going to be Mirai and Tomoka Inaba, but also I know that they are very, very high on Starlight Kid. And Harukaru Misaki, irrelevant of what you think of the Karma gimmick, they are obviously quite hot on her as well. again, you've already said it's a coin flip really with this tournament. You know, I could wake up tomorrow and think the other team. I do think that it'll be Mariah and Tomoko Inaba and Starlight and Karma in the final. I don't think that's going to change, but in terms of who's going to win, just to be different, because I think both of us have had the same predictions for the entire show, bar that three-way tag, I'm going to plump for Starlight and Karma, but I wouldn't be disappointed with either of these two teams. I'd love to see Tomoko Inaba recognized with a belt, because I think she's done great work. I think her work with Karate Brave in the Goddess of Storm Tag League with Siori was fantastic, and they were one of the most entertaining teams to watch. So it would be nice to see her rewarded with that. And obviously, I don't think Mariah's going to have much going on once they lose the tag belts, or once they lose going for the tag belts at the Yokohama Arena. Spoilers. So yeah, let's. I'm going to go with Starlight and Karma, as I've already said, but again, I think it could be either team, and I don't think people would mind. And then our main event, the match that everybody is talking about. It's the Cosmic Angels team of Tam Nakano and Waka Tsukiyama taking on a reformed Seven Kairi, Nene Takahashi and Kairi. And the stipulation is not only if Waka Tsukiyama loses, she leaves Cosmic Angels. If Waka Tsukiyama loses, she leaves Stardom. I mean, I would love to know, and obviously we will after Saturday, but I would love to know how they are going to book themselves out of this stipulation. But it has added such an incredible amount of intrigue. I would argue that the Waka Tsukiyama storyline is one of, if not the most compelling story in Stardom, and shows just how well long-term storytelling can be done. I mean, it helps that Waka Tsukiyama is so endearing as a babyface, with her emotion and her facials and just her improvement. She's the quintessential babyface, the way she's been treated by Tam, who seems to now have realised her mistakes and has sort of said, right, I'm going to tag with you to make sure you win. Because she doesn't want to lose it, because she's realised this is her mistake. It's a really, really compelling narrative that they've woven. And I honestly have got no idea how they are going to book themselves out of this, Matt.
They clearly booked themselves in this scenario knowing what they were going to do. When they said back in January, like, oh, you know, Tam's like, you have 2 months. It wasn't like you have till next week. It's like you have like 2 months. It was like 7-8 weeks, something like that, to get a win. Like, this is the date. And then, you know, okay, you thought it's going to be a singles match. And then we thought we'd get the one-on-one with Waka and I. And then Tam's like, no, I'm going to do a tag match. And we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Well, clearly she's choosing you. And then it's like, no, we're going to choose Kairi. I'm like, okay. Like, now, like, where are we going with this? I mean, my prediction is, it is the Waka team is going to win. Waka's going to get a win. I mean, is it against Kairi? Does Kairi take her first loss in Japan and in a quote-unquote Stardom ring since 2017 to Waka? I mean, it would really make Waka's career. And Kairi doesn't need – I mean, she can – she'll be, you know, it's Kairi. She's a made person. I mean, it'll take her 3 seconds to get her right back to where she was, because she's just so fantastic. I think Waka pins Nanai, and I think that afterwards Waka joins up with Mina as part of Club Venus. Again, as much as I would love for, you know, for her to join DX, which we've talked about before, and maybe, but I think that's what's going to happen, Rob. But again, very much we just talked about a minute ago. I have no clue. I have no clue, and I'm so intrigued. This show, this pay-per-view, is basically a whole bunch of, like, training matches, trial matches, and then it's really almost like a four-tier. It's this match and then the tag tournament that really has you on the hook. So it's, you're like, where are they going to go with this? But yeah, I'm super intrigued by this. But that's my prediction, is Waka's going to pin Nanai. And then when Tam embraces her, Waka's going to be like, nope, I'm going with Mina.
I think that's definitely happening. I think come what may, at the end of this match, Waka Tsukiyama is not going to be a part of Cosmic Angels. I think they've sown the seeds for that with the stuff with Mina. My only thing is, and I said this during our bracketology show last night, Nene has been built so incredibly strong. She's taken one pinfall loss since she's been back in Stardom. And that was back in August. Kairi.
Shuri.
Yeah, to Shuri. To Shuri, exactly, in a red belt
champion.
Match.
The champion, yeah.
Kairi hasn't eaten a loss since she's been in Stardom. She hasn't lost a match since she's been in Stardom. So, this is what makes it difficult. It's because they've literally given her the final level bosses, Wacker I'm talking about, in trying to get her first win. Now, I did have a storyline in my head, and I think I went through this a couple of weeks ago, of how I wanted Tam to get pinned, and that be the reason that Wacker has to leave Stardom. Because that is such, and then obviously Wacker will come back and there'll be some sort of loophole. But I love the idea of Tam sort of coming into this match to rescue Wacker and then being the reason Wacker has to leave after putting Wacker in this situation in the first place. There's something very poetic about that being the storyline. Whether it is or not, I don't know. Wacker has to win. There's no way she's leaving Stardom. Not after the effort they've put in, not after how over she is with the crowd. Like, you listen to the reaction she got at Corican Hall, you listen to the reaction she got in Osaka. She's hugely over. There's only a handful of people in Stardom more over than Wacker Tsukiyama. And Wacker Tsukiyama is an opening match wrestler at the moment. She's a lower card wrestler at the moment. And just for how well she's been built, how well she connects with the crowd, and how much people are into this story and captivated by this storyline, she's one of the most over. They're not going to let that go. How they do it, like I said, I've got no idea. For the sake of argument, simply because it seems to have been Nene that's been woven into this storyline somehow. Obviously, we had the match at New Bloods, I want to say six. The Passion Injection match, we had the Triangle Derby match, both times with Nene pinning Wacker. It would make sense for Wacker to finally get that pinfall over Nene Takahashi. I think Nene's best position in Stardom has been elevating this younger talent, not necessarily this younger talent, but the less experienced talent, because I think she's done wonders for Lady C, for Wacker, and for Miyu Yamasaki. So giving Wacker this pinfall win, I don't think she'd be averse to it. However, it's the return of Seven Kairi. Are they gonna just, you know, I don't know.
Well, they had a match back at either night one or night two of the five star. They wrestled, I think it was like latest season side
of
Kamatani.
Of course they did. I'm gonna go with Wacker
on the bike.
Nene.
Oh, you're going with me. Did. Yeah. Yeah, they came out on the bike. Wow, how can you forget that? Oh. There was only 19 other phenomenal matches that weekend. So.
Yeah, let's go Wacker pinning Nene Takahashi. Have that feel-good finish, especially if this is the main event. I feel like if it's the main event, it'll be making people sort of want to make people happy, leave happy. Now, my question to you, Matt, you look at this card. Yes, we've got Kairi. And one thing I do hope is that they haven't just thrown Kairi onto this card because they need some star power. That's what I'm hoping. Because if you look at the card, there's no Mayu. There's now no Hazuki. There's no Utami. There's no Saya. There's no Azumi. There's no Tekla. There's a considerable amount of talent. Top tier talent, no Mina, no Mariah May, unless she's Sexy Dynamite Princess, which I think she probably is.
It could be Mayu. Mayu is Sexy Dynamite Princess.
I would love that. Just for how, like, just completely opposite it is to her gimmick.
Oh, my God.
There's no Momo Watanabe, there's no Saki Kashima, no Tora. Do you think this show, and I know that we talked a little bit about this, about it being a double header, and you've talked about how they might say, right, well, you've bought tickets to blah, blah, blah. if you buy tickets to both this and the opening night to the Cinderella, you can get them for a discount, just to make sure that people are there for the New Blood Premium event. Do you think this show, its current configuration, do you think it is over or under 1,000 spectators?
I think I mentioned before when you brought this up to me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think they're going to do like 1,600. I'm not sure about that number, but I'm going to go on the positive side of this. I think just based on the Waka storyline, you're going to have Julia on the card regardless. She's a draw. Doesn't matter who she's wrestling. People want to see Julia wrestle. I understand your point. You're not having, Queen's Quest or Mayu on the show. But the fact it's a doubleheader with the Cinderella tournament, I think they'll do, 1,100, 1,200. I don't know if they'll hit that 1,500, 1,600 mark that I mentioned before, but I'm going to say that they do over 1,000 people in this one.
Just looking at the website at the moment, there's still quite a few tickets left from what I'm looking at. Sorry, just scrolled down too far. There we go. The VIP seats have been sold out and Arena A seats are sold out. Oh, it also says, sorry, it's just not crossed out, Arena S seats have been sold out. So there's three sort of ticket brackets that have been sold out. There are same-day tickets available, and there are Arena Stand and Arena B seats still available. So it'll be interesting. I think Stardom would be happy if they got over 1,000 people. I think the added sort of star power Kairi brings may sort of tip them over the edge. But it'll be interesting to see, following this New Blood Premium event, if they run a New Blood Premium event in the future where it's a pay-per-view and they're running a slightly bigger venue, if they do it in the same way they've done this, so tagging it on to another night at the Yokohama Budokan with the main card. So whether they do, I don't know, whether they do the next New Blood Premium event the night before the opening of the 5-star, something like that, to ensure maximum eyes on the product and maybe being able to shift a few more tickets. I don't know. I think if they are going to do another New Blood Premium event, you perhaps need more talent on there, but that is my own personal preference. I still think this is going to be an excellent card. I'm very, very much looking forward to the culmination of this Waka storyline and where they're going next. I'm very, very much looking forward to who are going to be the next New Blood champions, the next New Blood tag team champions, sorry. And to be honest, it's a solid card. I'm looking forward to it.
Rob, I know I'm a big fan of attendance numbers and whatnot. Do you know roughly what this venue, like what a sellout would be? Would it be like 3,500, 3,600? I'm just curious. Or what it's set up for. Sorry, I can hear the...
I think...
Not that I want to stress you out two podcasts in a row, buddy. But
I think Stardom have done 1,600 in the venue before. Recently, I would be very, very, very surprised if New Blood Premium does 1,600. I think you're looking at 1,900 maybe for the Cinderella opening round, maybe going to 2,000, but I would be surprised if they top 1,300 for New Blood Premium, depending on how the tickets are sort of dealt out and sort of offers and things like that, and if they get any walk-ups on the Saturday.
I'm sorry, buddy. What I meant by that is, let me rephrase the question, is like, how much would a sellout be? Like, is it 3,000? Is it 2,800? Like, if they say that this building is set up for, X amount, like, what would a sellout be? Does it say there, or do you have any idea? That's what I meant. I apologize.
I don't, as it turns out. I know that New Japan run it recently, but off the top of my head, let's have a look. Let's see if I can find. Velkage is currently blowing a gasket, shouting the number at us. I can almost hear it. let's have a look at, oh god, I've made me screen full. There we go. Matt, whilst I find this out, would you like to tell the lovely people at home what's coming up on the Patreon this week?
Absolutely, buddy. Wait, good way. Nice little segue there, my friend. Yes, we are knee deep in the middle of March Momo Watanabe Madness this past Monday. Rob and I did release Momo Watanabe and Yutami Hayashista of Queen's Quest defending the Goddess of Stardom Championships against the Tokyo Cyber Squad team of Jungle Kiona and Kunami. That was our alternate commentary. Coming up this Monday, upcoming Monday, will be Momo Watanabe and Starlight Kid, Black Desire challenging FWC, Hazuki and Kagama for the Goddess of Stardom Championships from night one of last year's World Climax. Also, too, by the end of the month, I've already recorded it. I sent it off for editing. By the end of the month, you will be getting the 2018 Momo Watanabe Cinderella win. Now, Rob, I know you're busy on the Google machine there, but are you aware of the wonky booking that was the 2018 Cinderella tournament?
Is this the one where there was like two buys, so someone went straight through to the final?
Yeah, so what happened? So the semifinal, now this is back when they did the one-night tournaments. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the multiple nights started in 2021, correct?
It did indeed, yes.
You know how I knew that? Because I read a certain book called Living the Dream, Stardom's 10th Anniversary in Review, where you do mention that that was the first time they did that. Anywho, so it's the one-night tournament. So the semifinals were supposed to be Momo versus Bea Priestley in one semifinal and Mayu versus Io. And another semifinal. Well, Mayu and Io go to a time limit draw, making the semifinal match of Bea Priestley versus Momo Watanabe the makeshift final. So can you imagine if like that happens at like the pay-per-view, you know, for the end of the Cinderella tournament? People would go nuts.
Absolutely.
People would go nuts. However, you can tell the crowd, nobody complained, because when you're walking into Corkin Hall, you know, if you bought a ticket for that show, you don't know that you're going to get a 15-minute match between Mayu and Io. So it's like, how are you going to complain about that? And of course, that was fantastic. So also what I did is, you know me, I'm a fan of, I'm a big believer in giving, you know, more bang for your buck, more than your money's worth when it comes to the Patreon. So I realized when I did my homework for this show that there's only three matches, and they were three great matches. Momo versus Konami was the opening round. Then Momo versus Jungle was round two. And then Momo and Bea Priestley was the finals. All three matches were great, but I was able to wrap up the podcast in like 21, 22 minutes. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a bonus alternate commentary for the white belt and red belt to your Patreon members. So not only will you be getting this Momo 2018 Cinderella win, but you're going to be getting alternate commentary of Queen's Fest 2018 February, where Momo challenges Io Shirai for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. So, and that's already recorded. So you can't say no. You can't say, Matt, I don't want any more free stuff. So that's already recorded in the can. So you're going to be getting a bonus episode for Momo March Madness. And then we're going to get in the DeLorean here in a minute, Rob, me and you. We're going to get this baby to 88 miles per hour. And we're going to talk about what we have coming up in April, which is only just as you listen to this, about a week away. So insane April. We're going to be, it's, I already put up the Twitter poll. So for your two options for the biweekly bonus episode, you have Kairi's Mako Satomura feud, Kairi's red belt title run, Kairi's entire 2022 review. So I will be, if that does get chosen, I will watch every single Kairi match from her her return in 2022 and review it. And then Kairi's Mae Young classic win from 2017. So those are currently up on the Twitter poll. Now, for the homework that Rob hates doing, is Rob and I will be picking our four matches that we're going to be doing for the alternate commentary. So, it's not going to be four matches. It's there's actually five Mondays in April. So I'm going to pick two matches. Mr. Rob Goodwin, you're going to pick two matches. And the early bird gets the worm, as we say. The first person that sends us, either me, you, or the podcast, a message on Twitter or email, they get to pick whatever Kairi match that they would like to hear us do alternate commentary. So how about that for a deal?
I think that's fantastic, mate. I think you are going above and beyond.
Absolutely. So, okay, I will pick first, as we know what match I'm going to pick, and then you can pick second and third. Obviously, okay. The worst kept secret in the history of this podcast. Is we're going to be doing the match number one. I'm going to pick is one of my all-time favorite Stardom matches. It's my all-time favorite match that features Kairi, and one of my all-time favorite tag matches in general, and just in wrestling in general. It'll be Kairi teaming with Mako Satomura to take on the Thunder Rock team of Mayu Iwatani and Io Shirai.
I mean, you can't go wrong with that, mate, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it's a fantastic match, isn't it?
Yes, and actually, I know me and you were I think it was right around the beginning of the year when me and you were texting back and forth, and you said, hey, is it okay if I start doing the alternate commentary watch-alongs with you? And I was sitting right next to Amber, and I'm like, this is going to be so much fun. I was like, if I can only do one match with Rob, it's this one. So obviously I was waiting for Insane April Part 2, and yeah, man, we're going to be kicking off with a bang with that match.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully I can follow that. I have never seen this match, but it's one that regularly comes highly recommended, and it's from the 5th of March 2017 from Stardom Champions Around the World in Nagoya, and it's Hiroyu Matsumoto and Jungle Kiona versus Kairi Hojo and Yoko Beato for the Goddesses of Stardom Championships. That's my first pick. I'm very excited for that because I've always wanted a reason to watch it and I've never quite got it. So that's very exciting. And then my next pick, which I don't think you've done, Matt, so you'll have to tell me, is Kairi versus Io Shirai from the 5-Star Grand Prix 2016 with Kairi finally getting a win over Io Shirai, something she doesn't really do that often in her run in Stardom.
No, I only did that just for the feud month. So Rob, you're telling me I have to watch another Kairi versus Io match. Oh, the things I do for you fantastic Patreon members, the sacrifices I make. Unbelievable. Yeah, those are two fantastic matches. Speaking of Yoko Beato, how about this? We're going to go to June 16th, which is actually my wedding anniversary, of the year 2016, in Yoko Beato's return match from her. She had a retirement and she came back. So it's going to be Kairi versus Yoko Beato from the year 2016, June 16th.
I mean, you can't say fairer than that. That's four outstanding matches.
Yep. And then you fantastic listeners, again, the very first one that either sends me or Rob a tweet or a DM, or they send an email on the StardomCast email, the first person, that's the match that we're, as long as we haven't done it before, that's the match that we're going to do. So this is nice. On Insane April, we get a little bit of a sprinkle of Yoko Beato in there.
Absolutely. You can never go wrong with Yoko Beato. Never go wrong. In answer to your question, Matt, about the Yokohama Budokan, it seems to top out at the moment at 1600. Obviously, pre-COVID, there doesn't seem to be any data, which I don't think it was open before COVID. I could be wrong, but the I'm solely using Cage Match, I'll be honest. But from 2020 onwards, it seems that the largest attendance at the venue was actually the opening night of the Triangle Derby, which drew 1,605 people. So, yeah, it's I don't know whether it will be more once the restrictions go down. I don't know what it holds when the restrictions go down. I'm sure in my head I've got 3,000 people in my head. But yeah, we'll see, because I'm sure this won't be the last time Stardom run the venue. Right, now, enough of this talk. Shall we, Matt, talk a little bit about what we're going to give to the good patrons come May?
Well, I'm excited, my friend, because we've been, you know, planning this and ironing things out and changing this and updating this for the last like 2 or 3 months. So, yeah, man, here it is. Absolutely, buddy. So fire away there, good sir. Oh, before we do, sorry, I'm interrupting you already. Sometimes, folks, life gets in the way. So all this, there is cards subject to change. So just bear with us if, you know, 6 months down the road that something has to be tweaked. So just, you know, bear with us. Cards subject to change.
Absolutely. Please bear that in mind. but we have renamed some of the tiers again, and I said this when we first announced that we were rejigging the Patreon or reinvigorating the Patreon. I did say that we were never taking anything out of the tiers. Whatever you're subscribed to, you will continue to receive. All we've done is rename the tiers, that's all, and added another couple of tiers at the end. So whatever tier you are on, if anything, you're getting more. So nothing to worry about at all. So we start with the $1 tier, which has been rebranded the New Blood tier. And you will get early access to episodes ad-free. episodes and a shout out on the podcast. In terms of early access to episodes, we will record on a Wednesday. You'll receive it on a Wednesday, which we've started rolling out a little bit more now as well. The $3 tier is now the high speed tier, and you will get everything from the New Blood tier. You'll also get weekly audio alternate commentaries and a bi-monthly bonus long form episode. The $5 tier is now the IWGP tier. And again, you get everything from the previous two tiers. You also get the video of the weekly alternate commentaries, quarterly Q&A episodes, monthly 90s, All Japan and All Japan Women's alternate commentaries. And we'll do some of those on request as well, which I'm very, very excited to do. And you will also receive an exclusive Stardom Cast sticker. If you have already received them from being on our $5 Patreon, it will be a brand new sticker and you will receive it again. These are the new tiers. So our $10 tier, that is a white belt tier. And that includes everything that I've already gone through. And also includes monthly roundtable discussions and guests. Sometimes it'll just be me and Matt. Sometimes we'll get people from the YouTube and wrestling community to come and join us. And we'll have a topic of conversation to do with Stardom. We'll also have a monthly What If fantasy booking show, where both of us will be given a stimulus, a task, and we've got to fantasy book it. So the example that I give is, what if Hazuki had beaten Saya Kamatani for the white belt, and we'd have gone through it and talk about how we'd have booked Hazuki with the white belt. And you will also receive Patreon exclusive merchandise, things like hats, beer mats, all those things, which will be available to you guys. And then finally, we get the red belt tier, the $25 tier, and you get everything from the previous tiers. And you also get an exclusive Stardom Cast t-shirt that will be not available anywhere else, an exclusive Stardom Cast print that is not available anywhere else. You will be able to join us for a quarterly round table where we'll get you to join us on the podcast if you'd like, and we can talk about Stardom ad nauseam. Okay? And finally, this one's really, really special. The commission of any Stardom wrestler drawn by Matt's daughter Lily. Now, she gets the cut of that bit. Like, you know, not us. We're not monsters. Okay? We're not forcing Matt's daughter to draw for no reason. She will get the money from that bit, so please bear that in mind.
Yeah, and that's going to be that for the $25 tier for you to get the commission from my daughter. That's every 6 months, so you know you can't just jump on 1 month, she draws it, and then you have to be every 6 months. You will get a commission from her, and you will get, now I've shared them on my Twitter and Instagram and whatever. I know sometimes she draws the smaller ones and she draws the bigger ones. You will get one of the bigger ones. The examples that I can use is, for Christmas, she drew me the Meltier and the Aphrodite one. So if you want two wrestlers, you can get that. If you just want one big one, then that's fine as well. She likes to go off photo reference. So if you want like Tony Storm in the Cinderella dress, that's fine. If you want Utami bleeding from when Arisa kicked her ass for the white belt, that's fine. You just send me the whatever picture that you want. And then once you hit your 6 month subscription on the $25 tier, I will give that to Lily. I will have her draw it. I will have her sign it. And then give me your address and we will ship that off to you. And yes, like Rob said, that percentage of that money will go to her, as she will be entering college here in just the next few months. And it'll be nice to have, some of this stuff kind of put a dent in the expenses that is college. If anybody that's ever gone to college before, or that is going to college, it's massively expensive.
It bloody is. I work at one. It's blinking expensive. So that is basically what we are introducing from the 1st of May. There is, of course, no obligation to join any of the tiers. We appreciate any support that we are getting. We've had reviews coming in this week that have been really complimentary, and we cannot thank you enough. We've had like people comment on Patreon, on Twitter, on Discord, private messages, they've been really supportive as well. So if you want to jump onto one of those tiers, please do. It's great support and we can't thank you enough. If you want to stay on the tier that you're on, again, we can't thank you enough. So this will be rolling out in May. Obviously, all the new artwork and things like that will be onto the Patreon on the 1st of May. It's all ready to go, as Matt's seen. It just needs to... We're basically waiting for the 1st of May to get all of that up. And what we'll do is we'll assess it every 6 months, like Matt says, or something like that, and sort of see what's working, what needs changing. And we'll also listen to feedback from you guys. If there's something you particularly want or there's something that you don't think is working but you think needs tweaking, then please let us know. Before we sign off, it's just a final reminder that our Cinderella bracket tournament is up on the Patreon right now for our $1 and up patrons. You are choosing the winner of the tournament, the two finalists, the four semi-finalists, and you are deciding how many matches in the tournament are going to go to a time limit draw. If you want to listen to our bracketology episode, which I've already said dropped yesterday, to basically understand how not to do it, then you can listen to that, download that wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also check it out on our website, www.thestardomcast.com. Next week, we'll be back where hopefully we'll actually have some shows to review and talk about. We'll definitely be talking New Blood Premium and the first round of the Cinderella tournament. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk the shows from Yamaguchi and from KBS Hall and so on and so forth. But we will let you know on the Twitter. In the meantime, guys, thank you so much for being here. We massively appreciate it. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts if you're not already subscribed. If it's your first time listening to us, hello. We're glad that you've made it this far. We're massively appreciative. If you want to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/thestardomcast. You can find us on social media at The Stardom Cast. You can find us on the website, www.thestardomcast.com, where you've got all of the history surrounding Stardom for those just getting into the promotion. You've got archives of all our episodes from the free feed and from the Stardom Cast Extra as well. But yes, thank you so much for listening. Matt, would you like to plug your socials and then sign us off, good sir?
Absolutely. Once again, folks, anybody, the first person that sends us a message either on the social medias that Rob just said or mine, Matt Turner OF, on the Instagram and or the Twitter, or send me an email, thestardomcast22@gmail.com. Like I said, the first person that sends us that message of what Kyrie match you want us to review, that's what we'll do. So again, you have all the socials there. Once again, folks, we massively appreciate your support. It just really, you know, humbles us and fuels us to make this podcast better and better each and every episode. So again, we thank you so much. And like we always say, folks, just not my podcast, it's our podcast, because we're all this together and everybody's different, everybody's special.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.